time. I'm asking you please now to turn again to the book of Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. If you're using one of our red pew Bibles, you'll find it on page 243. And then we will be turning ahead to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. So you might navigate your way through to put a finger in that spot. First of all, continuing in Joshua 2, and then reading a couple of verses in Hebrews 11. Joshua 2, verse 15. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall. She dwelt upon the wall. She said unto them, Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned. Afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, We will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thine house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we'll be guiltless. Whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, According unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. The pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. The two men returned and descended from the mountain, and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, Truly, the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not when she received the spies with peace. Let's bow please for prayer. Our Father, we come to Thee this morning with the Word of God now open. We pray that our hearts will also be open. We ask of Thee, O God, to come near to us. Give us help, understanding. Give power in the preaching of Thy Word. Let it be as a sharp arrow to the heart. Our Father, we pray that Thou will draw near the Sterrett family at this time. Be with them as they deal with the loss of a loved one. We're thankful that the dear grandmother knew the Lord. She is this time at home in glory with Thee. And so, our Father, hear our prayers now this morning. Continue to be with us, we pray, in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning on a verse of Scripture from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not when she had received the spies in peace. Specifically, I talked to you today about Rahab's faith that simply worked. Rahab's faith that simply worked, and that worked simply. It was not theoretical. It wasn't something that was just taken in theory, but it looked like something. It had content. It had meaning. It had expression, which is all summarized in verse 31 of Hebrews 11. She was saved and all her family who sheltered in her house. And why? We are told it was because she received the spies with peace. You see, Rahab lived in a house that was on the city wall of Jericho. Jericho was located the north end of the Dead Sea, just to the west of the River Jordan. And it was the first city that the advancing armies of Israel would meet. The news of the victories that Israel already had over Egypt and the Red Sea and the kings of the Amorites, why it had spread like wildfire throughout all Canaan. And so now Jericho was on high alert. They were watching every movement, watching every action. They're trying to anticipate what will be the strategy of this army that is now coming toward them. So when the two spies came into the city, they were known immediately as outsiders. In fact, they knew them immediately as those who were of Israel. This is phenomenal to me, really, because these guys came as spies. They didn't come with name tags on, but they were immediately notified, noticed. And so as these men came in to that, they were directed. They were directed by a sovereign hand of God's grace to a house where God had intended to do something great. Their location was discovered, and they sent the king's messengers to the house of Rahab. At this time, Rahab had taken the two spies. She had hidden them up in the rooftop. And she told those king's messengers that these men are not here. They were here, but they've left. They've gone. And perhaps she advised that they would pursue them in this direction or that direction and go quickly because you may catch them. She advised the spies that they should go out through the mountain for 3 days. And then after that, they were able to safely return to the camp of Israel. And when you look at this account, it has all the makings of a dramatic movie script. It's filled with suspense and bravery and intrigue and daring escape and a touch of romance as well as you follow the story after the rescue of Rahab. If it was not recorded in the scripture, you would have to conclude this. Things just don't happen like this. The case is true, though. That fact is often stranger than fiction. I want to consider the faith of Rahab, her faith that simply worked, and see how God's grace brought this undeserving, hell-deserving sinner, resident in the city of destruction, to the light and the freedom of the people of God and to eternal life through Jesus Christ. So I want us to think about her faith. And first of all, it was real faith. Hebrews 11 tells us that Rahab, by faith, she did not perish. And so I think when we consider her faith and the reality of it, we have to first of all consider the contrast of her faith. In order to see the full picture, We must look at what she was before coming to faith in God. Now, her name, Rahab, means proud, at liberty. And I'm sure her parents, who would have named her as a young child, would have thought, here is a child that will do great things, that will make something of herself. She is able to walk at liberty, to hold her head high with pride as she fulfills her goals, her ambitions, all that she would hope to be, to make her parents proud. She had pride, all right, but it was in a different way. She was on the broad road, and her name was well fitted for her very wicked and lewd lifestyle, for Rahab was a harlot. There are two words in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that are used for the word harlot. One of them meaning a temple prostitute. And a temple prostitute, it came with a sordid justification to it, because these were women primarily who had a purpose to fulfill. And it was looked upon in some way as being a glorified existence, used in a temple format. But there is another word that also is translated in this way, and it has to do with someone given over to sexual immorality, and they committed sexual sins either of pleasure or for money or for both. Some have suggested that her house, Rahab, was a sort of hotel, kind of like a saloon, a restaurant, a brothel, suited for the traveler to come in to be refreshed and indulged, all in the same place. Don't forget that she lived in a godless city, a heathen city, with a moral standard that would have been guided by the corrupt and sinful heart of man. And she made her living in one of the most debased manners. And her house, why, her very house and what she was engaged in, it was adding to the reason why God was bringing judgment upon Jericho and the rest of Canaan for that matter. Yes, they had rejected the God of heaven. Yes, they had filled up their iniquity to the full. The cup was now running over, and the time of God's judgment was being fulfilled. See, Rahab belonged to a class of people of which none are more hardened, selling themselves in sin. The book of Proverbs tells us whose house was a way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. How far was she from the virtuous woman we're told about in Proverbs 31? Rahab's case was very dark. She was hopeless. And yet it was here, my friend, in this very den of evil, that the Almighty God chose to shine the light of truth and to work faith in her heathen and hardened and sinful heart. We may look at Rahab's life and begin to justify ourselves, saying, well, I'm glad I'm not like that wretch. I'm glad I'm not like that sinner. But beware, friend. For as we back away and sometimes claim our innocence or our purity, we are guilty of 100 or 1,000 other equally soul-damning sins. Friend, we are sinners as Rahab was a sinner. And don't think that you can just measure your sin by degrees. It's not so bad compared to others. But understand this, that we all will stand before God to give answer for our own sins if they have not been washed away. And Rahab had no excuses, and she did not try to make any excuses either. Friend, when we look at her life, We see a life by contrast. So her real faith, the faith that she had in God, it comes to us as very stark, amazing, surprising. How could it be? There's a great doubt. It's impossible. No one from Jericho could be saved. Look at the whole city. Look at the immorality. Look at the iniquity. Look at everything. Friend, her real faith not only brought a contrast, but it also tells us of her conversion. Thank God it does not end there. For by faith, we are told, she perished not. God had opened her heart, just as He had opened Lydia's heart when Paul went to preach. And she saw the God of Israel was the true God of heaven and of earth. In simple faith, yet in saving faith, she believed and she trusted the Lord when all others denied. She knew factually about what the children of Israel had done. Well, that was undeniable. But when you think about it, so did the rest of Jericho. They also knew the facts of what Israel had done. That's why they were on such high alert. But none of the rest of them believed. You see, God had not opened their eyes to see and to embrace Him by faith alone. She had nothing else to hope in and had no other defense to cling to except to God for mercy. Now, when did Rahab come to saving faith? Well, Hebrews 11 tells us that it was when she received the spies in peace. So it was when the spies came into her house, she saw them, and she took the step of action to receive them in peace, and of course, then hide them away. But did she not know the facts that the God of Israel was behind all that happened? Well, all this is true, my friends. There was a specific point in time when in seeing and receiving God's messengers, it was then that the general facts became specific faith in the true and living God. There was a point in time of her conversion. And friends, you may be here today, and you may know well the facts of Christianity. You may have heard them from many years ago. But you see, just having a head knowledge of the facts that God exists, or that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, just having a head knowledge of those things is not enough. We must embrace them and receive them into our lives by faith. Yes, friend, Rahab's time of conversion was a time when she had received the messengers of God. The time of conversion is hard for everyone to remember. I don't think Rahab would have ever forgotten her experience. Some of you may know the year and the month and the day of when you were saved. And that's a good thing. But others may not have that experience. They may know more of a general time frame, as that applies to my own life and heart, when you were converted to the Lord Jesus. But friend, God has provided for us His messenger. And that's the key point here. His messenger, His only begotten Son, has come to us. And the one who has died on a cross of suffering and shame in order to save our souls from sin. And how you receive Him is vital to your salvation. You cannot just receive Him as a prophet. You can't just think of Him as a good man who came to fulfill what He was commissioned to do. But the Lord Jesus, the messenger of heaven, we must receive Him into our lives by faith. We must take Him as our own. And we must trust in the One who is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And I say to you today, behold the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sins of the world. Christ came to die, my friend, for your sin. And as you extend your hand by faith, as Rahab did, to say, I believe in the God. I accept the messengers that God has sent. And what Rahab was doing, she was receiving Christ Jesus by faith, the greater messenger. And she now stands today as justified before the very throne of God. And that's what's all important. Where do you stand today? Are you in Christ or are you out of Christ? That's a very important question. Rahab had real faith, and we contrast that real faith from what she was, and we consider in that real faith her conversion. But I want you to think a little bit farther about her confession. What did she say she believed? Well, turn back with me to the book of Joshua again, chapter 2. We want to read from verse 9. These are the words of Rahab, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our heart did melt, neither was there any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is the God in heaven above and in earth beneath. This is her confession of faith. And friend, the Lord tells us that those who believe in their heart that God hath raised Christ from the dead, and who make confession with their mouth, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, shall be saved. But I point you in Rahab's case to the assurance in her confession. She said, I know. I don't think this is right. I don't just feel this is right or suppose. But she said, I know. I know, the Apostle Paul said, whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that Christ is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Do you know today, if you are truly converted, do you know the one in whom you have placed your faith and your trust? Can you say this morning, I know the Lord is my Savior? Rahab could say this, and she had the assurance in her confession. But there was also great clarity in her confession. She says, I know that the Lord Jehovah. The Lord is in capital letters there. This is striking because she was possessing the very name that God had, the covenant name of the Lord Jehovah. And my friends, when a person comes by faith to trust in the God of heaven, in the living and true God, and they know His name as the one who makes and keeps covenant, then we have great confidence. She said, I know that Jehovah hath given you the land. This is a clear identification of the God of heaven. This was not some tribal deity that she was trusting in. It wasn't something of the so-called gods that were made of sticks and stones that they had made and worshipped in Jericho. No. They were all gone now in her mind. She had been brought to see that the living and true God of Jehovah is the one to whom that should be worshipped. He is the creator of all things. And what perception she had in this confession. She took note of how that the events concerning Israel and the workings of their God had affected her own city. and what impact it had on her country. She said, "Your terror has fallen upon all of us, and the land faints, and our hearts have melted, and there's no courage in any man because of you." Ah, because of the God whom you worship and the God whom I now believe in. Her faith brought perception. She could see things clearly. Friend, when you come to see the God of heaven and you come to trust in the Lord Jesus, the cross, it will have a completely different view to you. You will see the Lord Jesus Christ as your living Savior, the one who died in your place but has gloriously risen from the grave. And when you say, "Lord, I believe, I accept in my heart," you will have the lights come on and you will perceive things that you never saw before. You will know the secret of the Lord that now abides with you. And Rahab, she included herself in all of this. She didn't stand up and say, "Well, the rest of Jericho, they should be damned, I'll tell you, because of their sin." No, she said, "It is upon us. We have heard, our hearts melted," because Rahab knew she was part and parcel of the entire condemnation, and she deserved the judgment that was pending. She saw herself as part of the city. In verse 12, she says, "I pray you, swear to me." She could not say, "Swear unto our whole city for deliverance." But she could say this, "Swear unto me." Because, friends, salvation is a very personal matter. Salvation, the relationship that you need to have between yourself and God through Christ, can't be by proxy. It can't be in connection with somebody else. Your salvation is a very personal matter. Now, what distinguished Rahab's confession from the rest? Well, was it the fact that she had superior morality? Is she better than the other people in Jericho? Was it because she had higher intelligence or a better attitude? Was it because she had a better upbringing or a better family? Maybe a better goals that were set for her. Remember her name? Her name meant proud. Her name meant prosperous. And yet look at what her life ended up to be. A common harlot, the keeper of a common house. No, friend. She had nothing wherein to boast at all. It wasn't her nice personality or anything of that nature. It was her possession of faith. Faith in the God of heaven, which led to her true and bold and profound confession of faith. Look what she says in verse 11. She says, "I know the God, the Lord your God, He is the God in heaven above and in earth beneath. He is the all-powerful one. And if there will be any deliverance, it will only be as I trust in Him." Well, we learn many things from the confession of faith of Rahab. We learn that she had trust in the absolute sovereignty of the God of heaven. We learn that she trusted in Jehovah as a personal God. We also learn that she made no arrangements about the injustice or arguments about the injustice of God against her or her people. She knew it was just. And she pleaded for mercy. See, Rahab had real faith. But let me move on with you, secondly and finally, for us to think about her living faith. Because when you consider it, real faith, it has to be alive. It has to be living. And Rahab had living faith. She had nothing of the privilege of Israel. Think about that. She didn't have any scripture. She had no promises. She had none of the feasts that reminded them. She had no sacrifices. She had no Sabbaths. She had no teachers. Here was a person against all odds that came to Christ. Some profess a faith that has great experiences with it and boasts great power, but not much evidence of lasting fruit. And yet, my friend, faith that saves is very simple, and it gives evidences that will follow on. Here she had a living faith, and her living faith showed activity. It was active. In Rahab's case, she received the spies in danger of death to herself. She was marking her territory now. She had burned the bridges behind her. She had now committed herself unto God. And she said, if I take these spies, I am going to be signing my death statement. Because if any of the rest of Jericho had found out what she'd done, that was a treasonous act. And she would not have survived. Rahab, she took them in death. The death knell was upon herself. But she said, I believe in Jehovah, for He is the God of my salvation. Rahab's faith was living. It was alive. She saw Him, the Lord, who is invisible. A most unlikely person had faith in God in a most unlikely place. You know, friend, God does not care where you are from. The Holy Spirit is not bound by human lines of distinction. We sometimes get the idea that God saves people who are already kind of cleaned up, who look the part. Well, the Lord will save that person, but they won't save the other person. Our thinking is completely wrong. For the Holy Spirit goes and searches the gutters. He searches the alleys and the houses of sin to save a soul. And that's what He did with Rahab. And her faith was remarkable because it was very simple. Her faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And yet, Rahab did not even have the written Word. What she believed in the testimony of the God of Israel because of His mighty acts which she had delivered to her. She'd heard all that God had done. And when she believed, the outward testimony, she was believing the very Word of God Himself. You know, if the Lord Jesus could say to the centurion that lived in His day, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Because the centurion was sent away from the Lord saying, I have healed your servant. Go. And the man went, and the Lord never even had to go to his home. And that man received. What would the Lord say about Rahab? I will tell you what He said about her. He recorded her in the book of Hebrews. By faith, Rahab. Not only was her faith that which was active, but her faith was, we could say, approved faith. It had the mark of God on it. And she said, give me a true token. Her faith was going to be approved faith by the Lord. Look in verse 18 of chapter 2. She says, behold, at least the spies said to her, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window. And this scarlet thread, the two spies said to her, this was the line that they were going to be let down by the city wall in order to escape. And the Hebrew word here for this is something relatively insignificant. They told her to bind this piece of thread in the window. And yet in verse 21, when Rahab did what they commanded, there is a different Hebrew word that is used here. And verse 21 records that she bound the scarlet line in the window. And this different word means a cord, something that is twisted or braided together for strength. The spies looked upon this thing as a mark, a token. You tie this in the window, and we'll be able to tell which house is yours. But Rahab looked upon this as her salvation mark, and this was a strong cord for her, that which was braided together for strength. It spoke to her of expectancy, of hope, of things that were longed for. To the spies, it may have been a small thing, but to Rahab, this was her salvation token. It was scarlet thread. The sign for us is a clear picture, friend. Because that scarlet thread or line runs through the entire scripture of redemption. The scarlet thread of the cross work of Jesus Christ. And this line, this cord that is braided together, that is strong. Indeed, it has been braided by the Lord, and it will never break. It is that which is unbreakable. You see, such an honor, what appeared to be insignificant, was given to this Gentile sinner. Friend, how differently God thinks about things than we do. You know, in the book of Hebrews, it very specifically says, by faith, the harlot Rahab. That's a tag, a name tag. And quite frankly, it's not a very nice one. In fact, I don't think any of us would be thankful to have such a name tag put on our testimony of what we were. But think about it for a moment. Even among all of us here in this congregation, what tags will be placed upon our lives? The embezzler, so-and-so, by faith. The fornicator, so-and-so. The adulterer, so-and-so. The liar, so-and-so, by faith. Or maybe the all of the above, so-and-so, has been saved by faith in God. She is mentioned, John Calvin said, as a harlot, to amplify the grace of God in her life. And so it is for all of us, friends, sinners saved by God's grace. We've been brought into the kingdom not because of our purity, our innocence, or holiness, but because we meet the mark. We're sinners and we're saved. The Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, and such were some of you, but now you are washed and now you are clean. And he was talking about those who were immoral people and incestuous people and all other types of immoral people. But now you're washed in the blood of the Lamb and now we are clean. And the hymn written by Samuel Ganby, this one chorus says, what though the accuser roar of ills that I have done? I know them well, and thousands more, but Jehovah findeth none, washed in the blood of the Lamb. But could we also say something about Rahab's faith? It was advancing faith. But it may be a polite way of saying it was developing faith. Why? Because she lied. Make no bones about that. It's very clear. Some would be quick to condemn Rahab for not disclosing the whereabouts of the spies. When the messengers of the king came, she would think, well, I'll just trust in God. I'll just give myself over to the sovereign Lord. I'll say, yeah, they're upstairs. I hid them in the roof. Go get them. The Lord will take care of them. No, she didn't do that. And some might be a little critical. Perhaps this is a case where the Lord would say to us, let him that is without sin among you cast the first stone. Now we have no right to condemn. How many saints do you know who bear on them no traces of sin? It's true of all of us, you know. When a person like Rahab, coming from an environment where the religion and morality are so opposite to true faith and biblical truth, we need to give them some, what I'm calling, grace of time. The grace of time to shed the old skin and to grow the new one in sanctification. There is a tendency in all of us as Christians to be very much more critical of the sins we see in other people's lives than of the sins that reside in our own lives. Be careful not to make judgment against Rahab because, why? Because she is justified by faith. And we are told that in two different books of the New Testament, in Hebrews and James. And we are told that she is justified by faith. And in James' epistle, that was evidenced by her works. Now, she wasn't justified by her works, but the works gave clear evidence that she was a child of God. And note this, in neither place does God bring any word of condemnation against her. It is a blessed thing in this case to cover over the iniquity, to hide the sin. To her lasting honor, Rahab has received one of the greatest memorials of any mother in Israel, and that is being placed in the very lineage of Christ. Yes, that's right. In Matthew chapter 1, Rahab's name appears there as part of the lineage of Christ. And you know in Hebrews 11, there are only two women that are mentioned in that entire chapter. Sarah is one of them, and Rahab is the other. You know why the Lord, He just does that to show us all that there's no goodness in us. And He is the one who is the God of salvation. And I think if there's one thing that we could say over this whole account, salvation is of the Lord. And He saved this woman. For by grace are we saved through faith. And that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. Friend, have you received that gift today in your heart? Rahab was saved, and by the Lord's mercy, everyone who was brought into her home also was converted, was saved. And the testimony that this woman had, it was not like Lot. Remember Lot in Sodom? He appeared as one that mocked when he said to his family, "Come, judgment is upon us." But they didn't believe him, and they perished. But Rahab's testimony was one of clarity, one of confidence. And therefore, when she invited her family into her home, they also came under the salvation of God. What a testimony this woman of faith has. And I pray that as we consider that, you, friend, today and I will also walk in simple faith, believing in what the Lord has done for us. You know, we've been thinking about the subject of faith the last couple of weeks. And last Lord's Day, we looked at Abraham, a man who was known as strong in faith. But why was his faith strong? Because it was simple. And he believed in the Word. And Rahab comes to us as one who simply trusted in the Lord. And it worked for her. And it will work for you. Let's bow, please, in prayer.